Well, everybody, welcome to episode 271 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of golf today. My first guest is in his second season as the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial Boys Golf Team, and he guided the Jaguars to an 11th place finish in the Class 4A state meet in his first year with the program. He has also been the golf pro at Des Moines Golf and Country Club for the last several years. He is Andrew Reedy. Andrew, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys have already had three meets this season. I got a chance to catch a part of the last two meets this week. You know, wow, this weather has been tremendous for golf. You know, I hope it stays this way the whole year.
Yeah, no kidding. It's just been perfect. It looks like it's going to get hot next week again. Last year we had some heat about the same time of year, and that's a whole nother lot more challenges there. So,
well, I know the High School Athletic Association just announced that they're going to be moving the other classes for boys golf to the fall, and you don't deal with this because your season's not in the spring, but I'm sure for those smaller schools, they're going to enjoy playing in the fall as opposed to the spring, because, boy, some of those spring meets are just awful.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of flip-flop. They start the year with terrible weather and kind of finish the state tournament with some better weather, and we start with perfect weather, and then the state tournament's normally a little dicey. So
can be, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, your team opened the season a week ago with a triangular meet at Terrace Hills, and I know you were thrilled with the 287 that your team shot. That score was only four strokes off the school record, but unfortunately it wasn't good enough to beat either Johnston or Dowling Catholic, because both of those teams broke 280. You know, but that's probably not going to be an unusual occurrence this season, is it? There are just so many good teams in the CIML conference, and you can't control what your opponent does, can you?
No, you just can't, and there's just a lot of really good talent in our state right now, and it's great to see. And we had a kid from Johnston shoot 29 on the back nine that day and was just making putts from everywhere. So like you say, we don't get to play defense.
Now, is that Terrace Hills course, is that a shorter course? Is that why the scores are a little lower there maybe?
Yeah, it's a little bit shorter, and there's not a lot of trouble. You can get away with hitting one sideways a little bit. So not to take anything away from the scores that were shot, because I would say that you still got to golf your ball and get it in the hole. But certainly there's certain courses that, you know, yield a little lower numbers.
Well, your team followed that up by placing a third in the Jesse Peck Invitational on Monday at Briarwood, where you finished five shots behind the winning team from Ankeny. I know you felt like your team didn't play its best that day, you know, even though you guys were on the home course, right?
Yeah. You know, some unforced errors and things that we can clean up, stuff we've talked about, and I think we saw some improvement just the next time out on that. But, you know, we shot 301, and last year our best score was 302 all year long. So that's kind of what I've kept saying, is every score we've posted this year has been better than our best last year. So can't ask for much more from the boys.
Well, yeah, then yesterday you guys traveled across the street to Otter Creek for another triangular meet, and you guys were able to get some revenge against Ankeny. You shot a 292, and you beat the Hawks by five strokes on their home course, while also losing to Valley by the same margin. You know, it had to feel good to get your first win in the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we kind of talked about that. Certainly rival right in our own city. We lost by five, we won by five, and now it's even. So we get a chance, I believe, Tuesday at Fort Dodge to kind of settle that score.
Well, before we talk about some of the guys on your team, I want to get your thoughts on Valley. The defending state champion Tigers are now 4-0 in the league, and they're led by Braden Nelson, the two-time defending state runner-up. He carved a 4-under par 67 to earn medalist honors by three strokes yesterday, and he was also the medalist on Monday with a 69. You know, he's certainly playing really well right now, and Valley kind of looks like the team to beat again, don't they?
Yeah, they're going to be in the mix, definitely. Again, like I say, there's a lot of really good teams. Johnson's another team that jumps off the page at you, and I'm seeing some good scores for some teams from the eastern part of the state. So that's what I like, is, you know, we, you know, event in and event out, we're going to see the best competition we can see in the CIML and see where we stack up. So that's great to have.
Well, let's talk about some of your guys. Your team has been led thus far by McCoy Miller, who's had the lowest score at all three meets, and he's been under par in two of them. He shot a 69 at Terrace Hills last week and then placed third yesterday with a 70. You know, every team needs a number one guy to kind of lead the way, and he's certainly provided that thus far, hasn't he?
He really has, and being an underclassman, or, you know, a junior, and you know, some adversity that he had last year and found himself off the varsity lineup, and to just go to work in the off season and really come in this season with a goal and kind of a vision for his season. And I think that's probably playing out for him pretty nicely to what he was hoping for. So,
well, the only new guy in your varsity lineup this season has been Jet Lovan, and he's been somewhat of a surprise because his score has counted at all three meets. He's been very consistent, posting a 75 average. And I know you told me that he really hasn't been that big of a surprise, though, because, you know, he worked really hard in the offseason, you know, to get ready for this opportunity, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, that's kind of what I had said to you at one point, is to call him a surprise kind of devalues what he did in the offseason. And I certainly kept my eye on him in the offseason and playing in events, and he was shooting numbers that we're seeing, so it's not a huge surprise. But to do it when your team needs it and your first varsity experiences, you know, you really gotta credit him for that.
Well, the two meets that I was out at and got a chance to see him play for the first time, I mean, he looks comfortable out there, like he fits.
You know, you won't see Jet when he's not smiling, and that's one thing you just gotta love about a kid. And this game kind of requires or asks for a demeanor like that, where you can't get too high and too low, and he's even told me that that's his goal. So Dean Smith, my assistant, told him the other day that his smile reminded him of Magic Johnson, and Jet didn't know who Magic Johnson was, so we sent Jet home to do some homework.
That's funny. Well, the rest of your varsity lineup has consisted of Nathan Bullard, Charlie Morrissey, Jackson Lewis, and Tiernan Logan. I know all of those guys, you know, have had some ups and downs thus far, but Tiernan did bounce back with a 73 yesterday for his best round of the season. You know, you obviously have confidence in all those guys, and you feel like it's just a matter of time before they all put it together, don't you?
Of course, yeah, and Jackson's one right now that, you know, I'd mentioned that our game is just an unforgiving game, you know, and you don't get the bounces you deserve sometimes, and sometimes you get the ones you don't deserve. And as a golfer, you go through these slumps where it feels like every ball is bouncing the wrong way, and you're compounding that by making a bad swing here and there. And Jackson's just a kid that I'm going to continue to, hey, keep hanging in there, because we're going to need you, and we have the confidence that you can be that guy for us. So,
well, I think your team has eight meets left before you get into the championship part of your season. You guys obviously want to peak at the end of the year. You know, it's every team's goal. Do you feel like you have a pretty solid top six players right now, or do you think, you know, you might make some lineup changes throughout the season? You know, do you have some other guys that are still contending for those spots?
Well, I certainly have a couple of guys that are gonna work hard to make some decisions. Just was working on our scoring averages a little earlier today, and there is some separation between six and seven there. So my focus is on the six guys that we've played so far and continuing to try to help them improve. But I have a lot of guys in JV. One thing we didn't have last year was those guys staying after and working really hard. And that's what we have right now, is those guys that want to crack that lineup. They're putting in the work too. So
we got the JV coach of the year, so I'm sure those guys are going to keep getting better, right?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of play out of that one, Dan. Thanks for putting that in there.
Hey, you bet. Well, once you guys get to October, you'll get to play at least one meet here in Ankeny, and hopefully two. The conference meet will be held at Otter Creek on October 2nd, and if you guys are fortunate enough to make it to state, you'll get to host the state meet at Briarwood on October 11th and 12th. I mean, you have to be excited about that possibility.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's just such an advantage, and you know, if we can accomplish our goals and get there, we certainly feel you know, good about our chances. So,
well, I know you haven't been assigned to a district site yet, but I was looking at the Boys Association website today, and it looks like they at least have the four district sites, you know, announced thus far. So you at least have a little bit of an idea of maybe where they'll send you. Do you have a preference for where you guys go?
No, not really. We're going to try to get to all of them here before the announcements come out of where we're going to be, so that once it's announced where we're going to be, we'll get to play that one for a second time. So, you know, being at Willow Creek local, there's some advantage there because we have some kids that, or all of our kids have played there a number of times. So, but wherever they put us, we're going to go and compete and do what we can.
Yeah, it seems like geographically it'd probably make the most sense to have you guys at Willow Creek or Ottumwa. The other sites are Western Dubuque and possibly, I guess, the one in Council Bluffs. But.
Yeah, yep. So that'll be kind of fun. I'm looking forward to that, making those trips with the guys. There's some other advantages besides just seeing those golf courses. Those outings can be good team builders in that. So
sure. Well, it should be a fun season. Both you guys and Ankeny are off to good starts, so I'm looking forward to see how the rest of it turns out. Thanks a lot for coming in today, Coach.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
You bet. All right, well, my other guest today is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny Boys golf team, and he guided the Hawks to a 10th place finish in last year's Class 4A state meet. He is Mike Weddingfeld. Mike, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, you bet. We guys have already had three meets this season. You told me after Monday's meet what a beautiful day it was out there at Otter Creek, and I can concur because I was out there for a little while. You know, you guys have just had some perfect weather this year, haven't you?
We have. We are very fortunate, and I hope it continues all the way through October.
For sure. Well, your team opened the season a week ago with a triangular meet at River Valley Golf Course in Adel, and I was able to catch a little bit of that meet as well. You guys shot a 305 and easily defeated Urbandale while falling to Waukee Northwest, which posted a 290 total on its home course. I know one of the things you talk about frequently is wanting to get four scores in the 70s, and you guys only had three in the 70s that day. You know, that really makes a difference, doesn't it?
It does. It's huge. You know, 300 used to be the number, which is 475s. So if you could get right around 300, that's kind of always been the goal. But looking ahead already with the other meets we've had, obviously we have to get below that. So definitely now we're looking at better than four scores in the 75 range if I think we're going to really be competitive with some of these top schools that I know are out there.
Well, your team came back on Monday to win the Jesse Peck Invitational at Briarwood with a 296 total. You edged defending state champion Valley by one stroke. The key to that win was a 77 from Gavin Ross, who gave your team a fourth score in the 70s. Now, he's one of the new guys you have in the lineup this year, but you know you're going to need guys like him to step up, aren't you? Because you can't just rely on those four seniors from last year.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We need some of those other guys to step up, and he's been playing well. He played well in tryouts the second day. I think he shot 71. So we have a lot of guys that are capable of shooting those mid to low 70s. It's just doing it consistently from day to day, or at least on the days of competition. Other guys have been really solid. My son Caden still up there. He's battling. He had a couple bad rounds, but we're working through that. So still hope to have some, you know, 7-8 guys battling for those top six positions, and just hopefully I can pick the right ones on the right day.
Well, after beating Yankee Centennial on its home course, the Jaguars kind of returned the favor yesterday. They shot a 292 in a triangular meet at Otter Creek to beat your team by five strokes, and both teams ended up losing to Valley, which shot a 287. You know, you guys actually had five scores in the 70s yesterday, and I know you felt like your team played pretty well, but, you know, you just got beat by two other teams that played a little better, right?
Exactly. Like I told you in the article that you wrote, you know, when you're Valley's number one guy, Braden Nelson, goes out and shoots four under. You can't complain about an even round par of 71, but he's already got us, our whole team, by four strokes just in the number one player. So that got us right off the bat, and then they had some other good scores. And then Centennial had some kids step up. Tiernan, I know him from the Ankeny Golf and Country Club out really well. He's a great kid, and you know, he shoots 73, and he's their sixth man. So anytime those top guys can step up like we're looking for and shoot those really good scores, you have a better chance of going low, and that's what they did on us. So I felt like we played solid, but we just got – that's golf. They just shot better than we did on that day.
Sure. Yeah, I was just going to ask you about Valley's Nelson. You know, when he's shooting scores like that, I mean, that makes their team awfully tough to beat, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And, you know, we had that last year with Drew Henson. He could go low for us. And we have guys that I think can do that. They haven't yet. I mean, you can't complain about a par, or, you know, Duncan and Evan have both been one or two under par. But when you start going four or five under par, yeah, that's some solid golf. And to watch him play, I mean, he's just consistent. He's in the fairway. He's on the green. He's putting for birdie every time. And when you're that good, they're going to fall. So,
well, let's talk about some of your guys. Duncan Bilner has led the way thus far with a 71 average. He carded a 70 to earn medalist honors in the meet at River Valley. And then he earned a top five finishes in both of the other meets this week. You know, he's been really consistent, hasn't he?
He is. He's a great kid. He's just very level-headed. He doesn't get too high or too low. You know, if he's having a great round or a bad round, he looks the same. And that takes that mentality in golf just to keep your mind right. So he's been a great leader for us and consistent. You know, one of the days, I think the first day of tryouts, he shot 79, and it was raining and kind of cruddy, but it wasn't complaining about his round. He just said, I'll come back and shoot better tomorrow, coach. And that's that attitude that I think all the golfers need to have, but it's tough sometimes.
Yeah, he never seems to show too much emotion.
He doesn't.
You can't tell if he's playing well or not.
Right. And that's what I strive for. I tell all the kids that. I said, I don't want to walk up and know that you're playing great or know you're playing bad. I just be out there and enjoy it.
Well, after shooting a 78 in the first meet, Evan Hodapp has been, really stepped up the last couple of meets. He's earned a pair of top five finishes with a 72 and a 71. You know, and if he can continue to play like that along with Duncan, I mean, that's going to be huge for your team.
Right, exactly. Those, you know, being able to count on those top two guys or top three guys every meet in and meet out helps. He's another solid golfer. He can go low. Again, just having the confidence to do it. He's hitting the ball great. He changed his swing a little bit this summer, and I think he's going to be a lot more consistent, which is going to help his game. And when you're playing good, you feel good, so it makes golf a little easier.
Well, another senior, Kyler Crimmins, has been a solid number three player for you. He has posted a 75 average thus far, and I'm sure you feel like he's capable of, you know, of going even lower.
Exactly. He struggled a little bit yesterday. He had, you know, the putter was got away from him a little bit, and he missed one or two short putts that kind of frustrated him, but he hung in there and you know, pull out 75. There's nothing wrong with a 75 either, so he's been consistent around that mid-70s, but again, he's another player that has that capability of going low and just needs to do it more consistently so that it becomes a habit.
Well, I mentioned that Gavin was a new addition to the lineup this year. Breck Hughes is another new player, and he broke 80 yesterday by shooting a 79. And Sam Ortega made his varsity debut as well yesterday. You know, I'm sure you feel like those guys are, you know, all have potential to provide some scoring rounds at some time.
Exactly. Like I said, they've all shot mid to high 70 rounds, either during tryouts or during practice or whatever. But so the capability's there, but it's the consistency, and that's the hard part with golf. I mean, you can shoot 75 one day and 85 the next, and you don't know why or what's going on. It's just the ball's dropping for your putts, or you don't have a couple penalty shots that you had the last time, and that changes your score a lot. So the capability's there, but it's the consistency that we're looking for and working on day to day.
Well, I think your team has 7 or 8 meets left before you get into the championship part of your season. So that's going to give you some time to kind of figure out what that top six looks like, right?
Exactly. I mean, it changes day to day, and like I said, my son Caden, he struggled a little bit. He's playing really good golf. He had a couple bad holes in each of those meets, and not everybody sees that unless you see the scorecard, that you can play 16 really good holes of golf and you hit a couple out of bounds or whatever and your score jumps way up there. So getting him back, I'm hoping that he can, you know, slide back into the lineup for us and start shooting scores that he's more capable of. And Ryan Constable is a junior. He's shot some good scores. He shot 75 and won the JV side of it yesterday out at Otter on the same day as the varsity, so his score would have counted for our varsity and improved our score. It wouldn't have changed our position, but mm-hmm. It would have improved it a lot. So like I said, we've got guys that are capable. It's just making sure they can do it day in and day out. And we don't play at Otter every day, so when you got to go to Fort Dodge and you have to go to Legacy and those courses that are tough, if you've never played there, it makes it even tougher. So
sure.
I'm still trying to look at kind of the experience of those guys, and the ones that have played before I think are going to help us and help those scores get lower.
Well, it's a nice problem to have when you have, you know, some other guys that can score some good rounds, but then it's a challenge, too, to pick the right guys.
It is. I've always said that competition, you know, makes you better, because if you feel like, hey, I'm the number two guy or I'm the number one guy and that's it, then what pushes you to get better sometimes? And if you think that, hey, I might not have a spot next week if I don't perform, that I think that makes you work harder and focus at practice. And so it's good to have that, but it makes my job a lot harder trying to figure out who's going to play well on which day and pick the right six.
Well, once you guys get to October, you'll get to play at least one meet here in Ankeny, and hopefully two. You guys will host the conference meet at Otter Creek on October 2nd, and if your team is fortunate enough to make it to state, the state meet will be played at Briarwood on October 11th and 12th. You know, considering how you guys played on Monday at Briarwood, you have to be excited about that possibility.
Yeah, exactly. I was happy to get to go over there and see. Anytime the state tournament's held on a private course, sometimes it's tough to get out there, so being able to get out there and play around and then to play well. The weather was pretty nice. The wind picked up a little bit, so it makes it challenging out there. Some of those holes, you know, the wind's blowing north or south, you know, it pushes your ball a little bit, and there's some tight holes where you end up out of bounds, and that affected us. So knowing that we can even play better than what we did, you know, gives us a lot of hope, and we've got to get there first, but
sure.
Yeah, it's nice to know that we can play well on the state tournament site.
Well, I know you haven't been assigned to a district site yet, but I was looking at the boys' website today, and it does look like the four district sites, you know, have been posted, so you at least have an idea maybe where they'll send you. You know, do you have a preference for which course they would send you guys to?
I don't really. There's pros and cons to both. Willow Creek, obviously, in Des Moines would be a lot closer. So it'd be easy for the guys to run down and play a practice round after school, you know, before dark, and play nine holes a couple times. So that'd be closer proximity wise. I just forgot the name of the other one.
Council Bluffs. Ottumwa and Council Bluffs.
Bet Tree is where I think we'll go. The boys played there a couple years ago. All my top seniors have played over there before. We've played practice rounds there, so we'd be familiar with that course. It's a really nice course, great shape. It's a three-hour drive to go play a practice round and to find time to do that. So pros and cons, I think, wherever they send us, we'll prepare for it and do our best.
Yeah, the other sites are Ottumwa and then Western Dubuque. There's probably no way they would send you to Western
Dubuque. Yeah, I don't think so. And, yeah. And a long time ago, we went to Ottumwa a few times, but I would just really think that the proximity-wise and the side of the state that we would go to Willow or Bent Tree. But we always seem to go with the Sioux City schools and the Council Bluff schools, and I'm sure they would all be at Bent Tree. So that's where I'm guessing, but who knows?
Yeah, because you guys have been to Sioux City before too, haven't you?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So and we used to do a lot of districts up at Fort Dodge, and the Sioux City schools came over there. So we just seem to end up in that mix.
Well, it should be a fun season. I'm looking forward to it. Both you guys and Centennial are off to a good start, so it'll be fun to see how it all shakes out. So, hey, thanks a lot for coming today, Coach.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had boys golf coaches Andrew Reedy of Ankeny Centennial and Mike Weddingfeld of Ankeny. I appreciate the time from both of those gentlemen. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.